this is Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings. And today we are joined by a singer whose country hits have amassed some 15 million streams. We'd like to welcome to the show Drew Green, who is at his home in Nashville right now. Okay, welcome to Border Crossings, Drew.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's great to have you on the show. And I guess with a seven-month-old baby, you're not getting much sleep these days.
I appreciate y'all having me. Oh, no, it's been fun, man. We got about 8 inches of snow right now. It's our first big snow, so we've been playing outside. It's been fun.
You have a little boy or a little girl?
I have a 4-year-old boy and a 7-month-old girl right now. So we've been having a little winter wonderland. It's been great.
So given what you've experienced in country music in your life in the last few years, would you encourage your kids to get into this business?
You know, it's one of those things where if they really, you know, I've had the passion for music forever, and I grew up on a tree farm, and my dad was always like, you know, it's a needle in a haystack kind of job, you know, not really a, yeah, son, go chase your dreams kind of thing. It's more like, you know, get to work kind of thing. So I don't know. It depends on how they act about it, you know, because you have to be absolutely obsessed with the music industry to really want to chase that dream. You know, it's not more so of if you have the talent, it's how obsessed you are with it.
Right. And I read where this is the first year, and I guess it is 17 or 18 years where the CD sales, the record sales have actually gone up. So it's been a real good year for record sales, but it's
crazy,
been creeping for the last few years.
Yeah. I hope it continues to strive. I think we hit rock bottom at some point somewhere in the past couple of years. And I think it's on its way back up.
Because of you, because of Drew Green.
That's why. Yes, definitely. Is.
That's it. Well, so how did this all happen for you? You mentioned you started in Tennessee in a small town on a tree farm. And then I think you got a job in a bank.
Yeah, and so a little bit of everything.
What's the strangest job that you've ever had outside of country music?
Well, I was in a rock band in high school, and my dad said that, you know, if I wasn't going to work on the farm and do this music stuff, I'd have to have a real, like, you know, get a job. And so on Mondays, I grew up on Center Hill Lake too, close to where I'm from. And I would go and I would pick up trash for everybody that had a boat down there. And I'd pick up their trash and dump their trash for them. And I made really good money doing that. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, I'd work at Walmart. And I was the buggy boy at Walmart, you know, and then I moved up to the cashier. And so in high school, that was kind of my first outside of work, besides the farm. Like I said, I grew up on the farm. I worked on the farm since I was 8 years old.
Right.
But that was my first two jobs, really. And in order for me to be in a little garage band and practice every day, I had to do that. And so I did that for probably a year and a half right before I went to college. And then I went to college and started, you know, mowed yards, and I had to go home back in the summer to work on the farms. But other than that,
What did you study in college?
I was a finance major.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, so your knowledge of the music business now combined with your knowledge of finances, no one's going to take advantage of you, that's for sure.
Well, you say that, people say that, but once you start writing songs, after you start using the left side of your brain so much, I mean, everything I learned in college is pretty far out the window, I think. It feels that way anyway.
Your new EP, which is volume 2 of what you had released a couple years ago, is Dirt Boy.
Right, and Dirt Boy 1 and 2.
Yep. So what is a Dirt Boy? I mean, for the benefit of our audience.
Well, you know, like I said, I grew up on a farm in Tennessee, and you think of a cowboy, and it's, you know, you think of cowboy boots and horses and lassos. That's what you think of when you think of a cowboy. A Dirt Boy is just a guy who grew up on a farm, you know, and on Tennessee, where we didn't wear cowboy boots. We just wore, you know, Timberlands or, you know, work boots. And I've always, where I'm from, if you're talking about someone's kid, for example, like if I'm dating a girl, and like, what do you think about this Drew Green fella? You know, who's this guy? Like, oh, he's one of them dirt boys. That's Farron's son. He's one. He grew up on a farm. It's kind of like one. That's how the nickname got brought out. You know, and that's just kind of, I've always heard that term, and it's not really been a word. So I just thought that, like, putting ideas in my phone when I became a songwriter, that was one of my first ideas ever of, like, as me, And I spent 6 years writing songs for other people and just learning the craft of songwriting. And whenever I signed my record deal, I was like, well, it's time to start writing songs for me. And that was one of the first ones that popped up. And it's kind of carried my way through getting me a record deal and just my first little intro into my artistry.
Well, Drew Green is with us right now, and you're going to play some songs, I guess, for us. So, are you all set to play the first one? Are we ready to go?
Yeah, I think so, if you're ready.
All right. Well, can we hear some live music with Drew Green, who's at his home in Nashville? And the new EP is Dirt Boy Volume 2. So Drew's going to do some live music for us here on Border Crossings. What's the name of this song you're going to play?
I'm going to play Dirt Boy, I guess.
Oh, well, there you go. Perfect tie-in.
Well, we're talking about some Dirt Boy, so I'm going to play a song called Dirt Boy. It's kind of goes the song that I wrote this literally the week I signed a record deal. And I had my record deal happened so fast, and this was like a Thursday, and my manager was like, it'll probably be a long time before we hear anything after we met with Sony and Bill Forty. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he called me back 30 minutes later. This is like 10 o'clock at night. He's like, they want you to play at Sony at 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. And I was like, there's no way. Wait, whoa. You know, I've been doing this for 6 years, I'm not going to go try out for a record deal in freaking 12 hours from now. And he was like, yeah, you are. And so I had this song that I wrote that week, and it'd been my gut told me to play it. And it was the one that really got me through the door. But it's called Dirt Boy. Hope you like it. I learned to drive on a John Deere Turtle Gear, 7 years old in my daddy's lap. With dust on my face and mud on my boots, mama said, now you can't go to school like that. They called Hayseed Hill Billy Heek from a steep small town, good old boy up to no good. To the ones that know me and love me and my redneck of the woods, I'm a dirt boy. I wake up and go to work, boy. Raised up in a church, boy. But I've been known to cuss and drink. I try to live right, boy. I got your back in a fire, boy. And most of all, I'm her, boy. And that's what I'm gonna be till I'm 6 feet deep in the dirt, boy. To believe that the girl of my dreams grew up 3 miles down the road, pretty as a wildflower, honeysuckle, sweet she could. Had anybody, but she wanted to be with a dirt boy. I wake up and go to work, boy. I raised up in a church, boy. But I've been on the cuss and drink. I try to live right, boy. I got your back in a fire, boy. And most of all, I'm her, boy. And that's what I'm gonna be till I'm 6 feet deep in the dirt, boy. Yeah. I'm a dirt boy. I've been called a hayseed hillbilly hick from a stick small town, good old boy, but no good. To the ones that know me and love me and my redneck of the woods, I'm a dirt boy. I wake up and go to work, boy. Raised up in Falls City Baptist Church, boy, yeah. But I've been on the cuss and drink. I try to live right, boy. I got your back in a fire, boy. And most of all, I'm her, boy. And that's what I'm gonna be till I'm 6 feet deep in the dirt, boy. Yeah. I'm a dirt boy. Ooh. Yeah, I'm a dirt boy.
Ooh, Drew Green, there he is. He's a dirt boy. No doubt about it. That's from the new EP, Dirt Boy Volume 2, which is out now, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And what, 7 songs? Is that how many you put on an EP these days?
It's between 4 and 9, 4 and 7, I think. So I think this one has 5. So.
All right. And you just wrote that song within 12 hours because your manager called and said, get a song.
That was the song I wrote that the day before I signed a record deal. Yes, sir.
Under pressure. because you knew you were going to audition. And so obviously they liked the song well enough to sign you. So congratulations on a major label deal. I think every artist's dream is to sign with a major.
Absolutely.
A big, big company. Now, being a dirt boy, okay, from a farm in Tennessee and making a transition to Nashville, was it a difficult transition? What was it like for you to move to Music City?
You know, everyone's like, well, you're from here, so you've always been here. But at the time, you know, I'd never really been in Nashville and knew what the country music scene was like. You know, I started playing at a bar called Tootsie's Orchid Lounge on Broadway in Nashville, which is, you know, the honky-tonk capital, you know, of country music, really. And that's kind of where I cut my teeth there and grew up. I'm singing everybody else's songs, you know, and I started there when I was in college, and I played there for 4 years, at about four nights a week. And I got pretty lucky. One of the best gigs there was there, turned into having the best gig on Broadway, I'm pretty sure. And, I played there four nights a week, about 12 hours a week. So I was singing a whole lot, and that's kind of where I got my chops that really got myself like introduced to the entertainment part of singing. And I fell in love with it so much and became obsessed with it, really. And that's where I met a guy and started songwriting. And I did that for a while and became obsessed with songwriting. It kind of just flipped the gears and was just really obsessed with the craft of writing. And I signed a publishing deal, which a year later led to me texting my publisher saying, hey, I've got some songs that I don't think you've heard yet, or if you have heard them, I'd like to show them to you again. Because I was really talking about pitching these songs to other artists. And we had breakfast one morning, and he was like, man, I think you're ready for a record deal if you want one. And he's really been my champion, Brett James, and he's helped me land a record deal. And we signed a record deal 2 weeks later.
Fantastic. That's a great story. That really is a great inspiration to everybody. I mean, you know, to show that if you pursue your dreams and you don't give up, because I think your dad kind of gave you a deadline. He said, you know, if you don't make this happen soon, you're going to have to do something different.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a practical person. And so me and my wife talked about it. Like I said, I worked at a bank for a year, and I just got promoted to like manager and trainer. I was going to have my own office, like a really good setup.
Wow. Yeah.
And I will quit the next day. it was one of those things where my gut just said, dude, you got to chase this. And if I don't chase this, then I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life, you know? And life is pretty short, you know, it's not worth it. So,
yes. When you talk about life being short, you know, I mean, and precious, and I think we've all come to grips now with how volatile we are with the COVID virus, which everybody's vulnerable, and we have no control over the situation. Although people can get vaccinated, they can take steps, but you know, here's something in the air that, you know, we really don't control. So how have you dealt with COVID?
To everybody.
Yeah. How has COVID affected your life?
So much, man. You know, I was, I'll be honest, the first year of COVID, I didn't, was just doing, listening to what everybody said, you know, and didn't really know how big of a deal that it was. And then, you know, it started clearing up a little bit. And, to be honest, my family, on my wife's side, we go on vacation every year in March somewhere, you know, to the Bahamas we go somewhere nice every year. And, this March we went to Mexico, and, my father-in-law, healthy, super healthy, gym every day, contracted COVID, and he died 14 days later, man. So
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, so it's affected us pretty hard. Yeah, pretty hard.
Yeah, over 5 million people lost their lives to COVID, and
just think about how many families that's hurt, man. It's definitely a bad thing. And I hope it goes away soon.
Well, you were just on tour, so obviously you felt good enough to go out there and take a tour, and you know
it's been a dream, man. And to get the Mitchell Tenpenny tour was I know at the time whenever we were looking around, I had just signed with my agent William Morris, and it was one of those things where I didn't think we were even ready for this tour. We just signed this deal, and I didn't even have a band. To be honest, I was just going through like picking the bands out, and I met a guy who said he could put my band together, you know, and randomly put me with five guys that are my best friends now that I couldn't, like, they're amazing. And Very fortunate, just lucky as it gets. And that never happens. I figured I would like one of them, maybe two of them, you know, like, and it turned out they were all just great. And they all love me, and they're all, you know, Drew Green show ready to roll. And, we played 35 shows this year, and,
wow,
I couldn't be happier. And every show was great. Every show was amazing. Butcher Timpany and his crew were amazing. Putting me in front of 4,000 people every night is a dream for me, and it went great, and I can't wait to get back out. Yeah.
Now, what you talk about dreams? What are your other goals? Where you'd like to play? Is there a place or an event that you you know, festival? Or I see you got the NASCAR Dale Earnhardt sign behind you on the wall. That's right. So is there? I mean, do you want to play NASCAR for that crowd? What's the ultimate Drew Green goal?
My three big ones would. I'm from Tennessee, so the Bridgestone Arena would be like, you know, a dream. I just played this year at the Ryman. That was probably my biggest. Like, I had tickets to go. I'd never been there before. I had tickets to go see everybody, and I was like, well, I think I'm pretty close to a record deal. I think I'm just going to wait until it's me playing there to be my first time, you know. And that was a big, very big bucket list moment for me. Shaking in my boots kind of thing, you know, like nervous. It was just a great day. I'm a big Braves fan. I sang God Bless America at their stadium this year, so that was a big bucket list. So like some of my biggest things I actually did this past year, which is crazy. I've always been a fan of Red Rocks. I'd love to play Red Rocks. Madison Square Garden is a big one. You know, those I'm talking dreaming big here, you know.
Sure. Hey, there's no dream too big.
Talladega, Alabama would be pretty cool for NASCAR stuff, you know, or Daytona, somewhere that I grew up going there. I grew up going to that racetrack, so that'd be real great. Cool.
I mean, it's fantastic. And I know that you're a very accomplished, famous songwriter, which a lot of people don't know. You've written for Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah.
You know, you've written several songs for them. You've written songs for other artists as well. And you've given the music away all the time. Now it's a different situation where you got to keep the music. So it's a different side of it.
Yeah. Everybody wants to stay on both sides, but it's really hard because whenever you write a song in Nashville, the songwriters in Nashville are so good. You know, everybody's great, and everyone. And so when you complete a song, if you complete a song in Nashville, it's probably pretty good. You know, if you get through the end of the day and you get done, it's pretty good. So when I turn this song in, you know, I'm like, man, Kenny Chesney would be awesome on this. Blake Shelton would crush it. We've got to get this to Blake Shelton tomorrow. They're like, I don't know, it's pretty good. You sound pretty good on it, Drew. I think you might need to hold on to it. You know, it's like, oh, we got so many songs, man. Like, let's. I want the world to hear all these songs, you know. And if it's just me cutting them, then they're not going to get to hear a lot of these.
You know? So let me ask you, if somebody came to you and said, you got to pick one or the other. Songwriting or performing and singing, what would you pick?
Man, that's the question of the decade for me. Everybody, I've had that question. It's so hard to answer because they fuel themselves for me. Like I have to have both to feel normal. But I'm obsessed with songwriting, and I can't imagine doing the job without songwriting. But I would have to say singing. I would pick entertaining and singing over songwriting. I'd sing everybody else's songs all day just because I love performing that much, that I would have to pick the artist gig over songwriting. Yeah. But hopefully that'll never happen.
No. You don't have to pick, you know, that you're
if that you're happens, that means I'm writing some really bad songs.
Well, you've been blessed with the talent to do both. Not everybody has that luxury, but you can do them both, and you do them so well. Would you do another song? That's a perfect lead into
absolutely, absolutely.
Is another Drew Green song.
So this song is the first song that really, really took off for us. It was the most unexpected song that we thought would be to take off too. And it was, you know, Spotify had this on Hot Country for probably 9 months. Amazon and Apple have both pushed the songs on all their playlists, and it's probably somewhere in the 30 to 40 millions of streaming on all platforms. And I know it was 16 on Spotify, which is my goal for my first year with a record deal was 1 million spins collectively, not knowing that this was going to happen. And the 15th, super accomplishment for me. And it's been awesome. Being on tour, like my last show in Michigan this year, literally the whole entire crowd sang the song, and it was like, you know, I broke down, man. I lost it. But it's called She Got That. Hope you like it. She got that red carpet class when she wanna go out on the city. Got that red dirt swag when she wanna get nitty gritty. Got my heart, my soul, my bad. She got that window down, blonde hair down, blowing out of my shit. Got that indigo front seat glow everywhere she go sexy. Got my heart, my soul, my back. She got my heart, my soul, my back. And whatever she wants, whatever she needs, whatever it is, she gonna get it from me. Whatever she wants, whatever she needs, whatever it is, she gonna get it from me. Cause she knows I got it bad, bad, bad. She got that red carpet class when she wanna go out on the city. Got that red dirt swag when she wanna get nitty gritty. Got my heart, my soul, my bag. She got that fine like a daddy. She got that love from her mama. She got that same dream as me, making me think maybe I wanna put a ring on it. Wanna get that house, yeah. And she wanna put a swing on it. She gets whatever she wants, whatever she needs, whatever it is, she gonna get it from me. Whatever she wants, whatever she needs, whatever it is, she gonna get it from me. Cause she knows I got it bad, bad, bad. I got it bad, bad, bad. Yeah, she got that. Whatever she wants, whatever she needs, I got it. Whatever she wants, whatever she needs, I got it bad, bad, bad. She got my heart, my soul, my back, yeah. My back, yeah. She gets whatever she wants, whatever she needs. Whatever it is, she gonna get it from me. Whatever she wants, whatever she needs. Whatever it is, she gonna get it from me. Cause she knows I got it. She got that red carpet class when she wanna go out on the city. Got that red dirt swag when she wanna get nitty gritty. Got my heart, my soul, my bag. She got my heart, my soul, my bag. Yeah, she got that. Yeah, she got that.
Drew. There it is, Drew Green. Big hit for Drew Green and for the fans. What do you call your fan club? Do you guys have a name?
Right now, we call it the Green Room. It's the backstage. Like I call my website has a little thing called the Green Room, and if you join the Green Room, you get I might send you a video of me playing or like backstage, like the Green Room. So we've got a couple names. Some of the local like big fans call themselves part of the Skew Squad, which is I say Skew. All the time. That's my little trademark right now. So it's been so that's a thing too. But the Green Room is really what my little crew's called. Yeah.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard your song on the radio for the first time?
I think I was in Jackson. I was somewhere in Florida. I don't forget where. Maybe Jacksonville or maybe Orlando. I think I was headed to a show, and I heard it on the first time, and it was cool, man. It was one of those things where. And it was good. It was one of those things where I was been like listening for it because my social team's like, we got to get a clip of you listening to your song on the radio, So I'm like, listen to the radio all the time. I've never heard it. I was like, oh yeah, I've been listening, but I haven't heard it. And so when I finally heard it, it was cool. Yeah, it was cool.
So you're also a gamer, I heard.
Yeah,
you love to play video games.
I'm a big gamer, man. I've been a gamer since I was 16, I guess. My parents didn't. We had dial-up internet, when I was sitting there. Beep, burr,
burr. Donkey Kong.
I'm from a small town, so we didn't have a cable or DSL. So my Christmas list every year, I asked for internet so I could play video games, and I never got it. So I would go to my friend. That's what got me that obsession with it, because I would go to my buddy's house to play video games on the weekends. And I've been obsessed with video games ever since, man. It's the only thing in the world, and I mean it, the only thing in the world that doesn't make me think about music and me singing. So it's my drug of choice, I guess, or whatever, however you want to call it. It's my walk away, my 10 minutes from music that gets me, like, my reset, I guess, my reset. I need it. And
It's, you ever thought of writing a song about your obsession?
Yeah, I've thought about it a bunch, but I don't know how to. I mean, this is one of those weird things where it's like I'm a country music artist, you know, it's
right.
I'll find some stuff. I know I've wrote some hype songs that can be played on video games. I've had a hold with Madden, a football game before. It didn't work out, but yeah, I'm definitely gonna lean into the music thing. Have some video game stuff with music. Yeah.
Now, if people want to play a game with Drew Green, what's your name on your gaming name?
Well, you can go to Twitch. First off, you can go to, on Twitch. I have my account's Drew Green Music. My in-game name's Sneak. Everybody calls me Sneak. But you can go to Twitch at Drew Green Music and follow me, first off. And then when I'm Twitching, you can get on there and type up in the chat, say you want to play with me, and I'll hop in a game with you. I play a few different games and probably play a game that you play.
Yeah, well, exactly. Minecraft and all these other games that people are playing.
Minecraft's pretty huge, man. It's probably the biggest game in the world, maybe ever. Yeah.
There's so many levels of it. I got a 12-year-old who won't put the controller down. So.
Kids are obsessed with it, man. I play the adult version of Minecraft.
I'm sure.
Which is called Rust. But, yeah.
Drew Green's with us here on The Voice of America, and it's the Drew Green volume, it's Dirt Boy volume 2 that we're talking about today on the show. That's the new EP that Drew has out. And so you wrote that this is more personal. This CD is more personal than the music you put out before. Explain what you mean by more personal. You are really letting the listener into your personal life and your view.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even on the first one, I think there's more like slower songs on the first one, but this one's got a little more rowdy stuff, you know, like it's got, but it's just a little more into like where I'm from, a little more into when you put one, you get one like Dirt Boy Volume 1, you heard it, and when you hear 2 and you put them together and you listen to both of them collectively, you're like, oh, I get this guy now. I know this guy is that Dirt Boy that he claims to be, or that you hear in the song. Like, that song is real. That's why I thought when I first got a record deal, I was like, I don't know if we should cut the songs. I don't feel like anybody's gonna want to hear it because it's so personal to me, you know. So it's like, it's so me, I don't know if, and turns out I was completely wrong. I was just like, slapped myself wrong pretty quick.
Yeah, but, you start off singing a song about yourself, and then you find out just how many people relate to what you've gone through,
right? That's the beautiful thing of songwriting, you know, really.
We're talking with Drew Green, who is going on tour again, I assume, sometime this year. You have something planned?
We're looking. We've got a few shows. We've got a lot of festivals lined up for the spring, late spring, early summer, which I'm super excited about. Some bigger ones that I haven't played that I'm excited to. But due to COVID, I think a lot of these tours this spring are makeup tours from the year they got canceled. So a lot of direct support acts like myself for a bigger artist are already booked. So as of right now, we're not on the road with anybody. We've got a few offers in the can that we're hoping to get signed off pretty quickly, but and hopefully those will get picked up and we'll be back out there.
What about international touring?
Oh, I would love to, man. That's not been brought to my attention yet. I've done some interviews with overseas acts, magazines and whatnot, and they've always brought that up, and of course I'd pick that over. I mean, I've never been anywhere like this year on this tour. I mean, like I said, I've never been north of Kentucky up until this year. I was in New York 2 weeks ago for the first time, Michigan, Ohio, Cleveland. Like, I've never been anywhere. So it's been really cool for me to just really like. Well, you know what you think that this is going to look like? When I thought of going to New York City, I thought the entire state of New York looked like New York City in my head until last week. You know, like, I'm 33 years old, man. Like, it took me 33 years to figure that out. But it's crazy seeing the whole place and going, seeing these places and how country everywhere is. You know, everywhere. I played in a place called East Aurora, New York, which is close to Buffalo. And I swear it was my hometown, McMinnville, Tennessee. You know, and it's really cool to just to get to see that in New York, that in Michigan, and see how big, you know, how normal everywhere is.
What's been your favorite place to play so far?
New York City was pretty big, man. That was a big moment for me. The energy in that city, I can feel it when I get there. That was a big one for me. Michigan, the last show of the tour was really fun. California, LA was awesome. So it's been there's been a few places I can't really narrow. I would have to say New York City.
I'm sure there's a lot of great things coming your way too with the new EP, and hopefully we get past this second wave of COVID now. We can
We're about to put out some new music too, so hopefully this new music will pop off too.
That's exciting. And so you're going to do another song for us right now?
Yeah, you want to hear some off Dirt Boy Volume 2, or you want to hear a new one?
I want to hear whatever you want to do for us, whatever Drew Green feels that you want to do.
Okay, I like that. I'm gonna play a new one then.
All right.
I'm always moving. So we got this new song. It was going to almost make Volume 2. We decided to keep it off. We tried to keep it all Dirt Boy related for the first two things. And we started playing the song all live, and no one's ever heard the song when we're playing it live. You know, it's not, we don't have it released yet. And it was probably our second or third best reaction songs, besides like She Got That and A Little More Beer Out, the songs that we've had out for a while that have done really well. And so it just shows me this song is a moment. You know, everybody's messaging me on Instagram, hey man, what is this? I've looked everywhere for this Take Me song, I can't find it. And it feels cool. I can't wait to get it out there for everybody. But it's called Take Me. And like I'm not sure when it's gonna come out. Hopefully this spring, if not early summer.
So this is a worldwide premiere.
That's right. No one's heard this. Y'all, you're the first one to hear it, buddy. That's how it take me. When you're in a bar, in a crowd, when you'd rather stay in and kick it on the couch, when you're on a plane, headed home, when you're all up in your head, up in your headphones, middle of the night. I don't care, anytime you're going somewhere. Take me like a pill, take me like a bottle. Take me to a party, take me to your mama's. Take me to your hometown, take me to church. Take me everywhere you go, just like you do your purse. I don't want to change it, I don't want to fix it. I just want to fix it like your favorite pair of shoes. Take me with you. Take me with you. When you're all alone, classic cab, girl, you can put me on speaker in your bubble bath. If you need a break from the city lights, but you still wanna get high, take me like a pill, take me like a bottle, take me to a party, take me to your mama's, take me to your hometown, take me to church. Take me everywhere you go, just like you do your purse. I don't wanna change it, I don't wanna fix it. I just wanna fix it like your favorite pair of shoes. Take me with you. Wherever you're going to, I wanna be going to. Take me with you. Take me with you. Take me fast. Take me slow. Take me to heaven. Wherever you wanna go, where you wanna go. That went down, that wrap around, that brings up in that pines, girl. Anywhere in your mind. Take me like a pill, take me like a bottle. Take me to a party, take me to your mama's. Take me to your hometown, take me to church. Take me everywhere you go, just like you do your purse. I don't wanna change it, I don't wanna fix it. I just wanna fix it like your favorite pair of shoes. Take me with you. Wherever you're going to, I'm gonna be going to. Take me with you. Take me with you, yeah. That went down, that wrap around, that breaks up in that vibe, girl. Anywhere in your mind, take me.
Take me. First time on the television, on the radio. Congratulations on that new song. Sounds great. Drew Green is with us. And yeah, well, but don't forget us when you get those CMAs and, you know, all those Grammys. Don't forget us.
Yes, sir.
Where we play that song first. Drew Green's been our guest here. And before you go, a couple of things I want to, first of all, I want to find out, where can people find you social media? You said Twitch. Is that your social media? That's your location?
That's one of them. But more importantly, Instagram. Instagram is at Drew Green. TikTok at Drew Green. Those two are the big ones that I get on for sure, especially if you're trying to get a hold of me for sure. Those two would be good. TikTok and Instagram at Drew Green. And DrewGreen.com. DrewGreen.com has all the links.
The main website, you get the CD, you get it there, Amazon, Spotify, everywhere. When are you going to have a full studio album out? Do you have any idea?
You know, I've had that asked me a lot lately. You know, we're kind of just, the world's changed a little bit the past 2 years in music, not just because of COVID, just because of music itself. So we're trying to figure out what to do. You know, albums aren't the thing anymore. And I grew up listening to albums. So I'm pushing to let's do an album. I don't care. You know, it's not about money for me. I grew up listening to albums, you know, the passion of music. I grew up listening to from song 1 to 12. That's how you fall in love with somebody, you know? We'll probably, hopefully, maybe this year, maybe by the end of this year, we might collectively put Dirt Boy Volume 1 and 2 together and do a Dirt Boy album and add 7 more, basically. We might not. I really don't know. We're kind of just fishing right now to figure out that we're going to put out some new music and see what happens. And we're just going to my only goal is, I don't care if I ever put out an album. My only goal is to put out more music than everybody else. That's what we're putting out a lot.
It's a quantity, right?
Yeah, it's different now.
Yes, it is, because it is a business. It's kind of evolution, because back in the 50s, 60s, they put out singles, 45s. And so now we're back to selling songs one at a time on these different streaming sources. So it's kind of...
You're absolutely right. And I mean, still people get tired of things really fast these days, because they have access to everything really fast. They have, like, you, when you go in the, you know, the '60s, you could go buy one, you bought one disc, you listen to that one disc, that one song or that one album. That's all you had. So you became obsessed with it. And now you have access to everything. Literally, you pay a premium a month, $10 a month to listen to literally every song ever put out ever. And so people get tired of things really fast. So you have to put out a lot. So my mission is to put out as much music to keep everybody happy, to keep you wanting to listen to me, I guess.
Well, that's great. That's a great goal. And that's what keeps you busy and keeps you relevant. Yeah, you know, you write music, you got to stay current, and that's great. And I really like the music on the new CD, which is Dirt Boy Volume 2. And the new album, hopefully, we're looking forward to that in 2022 at some point. Now, we're broadcasting in 100 different countries around the world right now, and our audience also includes the troops. So as we close here, I wanted to give you a chance to send out your own personal, here we are in the new year, 2022's just started. You have a message for the audience?
Well, first off, thank y'all so much for supporting USA and fighting for my freedom. Music is one of those things where I for sure would not get the opportunity to do what I do without y'all's sacrifice and commitment to our country. And I appreciate that every day. I'm so thankful for that. And if you're in another country listening, hopefully I will get to come and hang out with y'all soon. That's another dream of mine, is to get to go see this beautiful world. And hopefully I'll get to see y'all soon.
All right. Drew Green is our guest. It's Dirt Boy Volume 2. He's at drewgreen.com. Thank you, Drew, for joining us. My name is Larry London, and this is Border Crossings on VOA TV.